Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:34 p.m. on Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. And also that we have a quorum present today. Our Senators Machicki, Kawasaki, Keel, and myself, Senator Rivak, staffing the committee today are committee aide Inti Mayo Harbison and Juliana Singh from Records. And our LIO moderator,
Kelsey.
Thank you so much, Kelsey, and thank you all for your attention to this committee and all your work. Please silence your cell phones. Today's agenda only consists of one item, SB 223, confidentiality of animal records, or commonly referred to as HIPAA for horses. We're going to jump right into it. This will be the first time this bill is before the committee. And here to present, we have Senator Myers and his staff. Ms. Anderson, if you could please come forward and put yourselves on the record. We also have, for questions, we have Kevin, the president of the Wild Sheep Foundation, Amy, executive director of the Alaska Farm Bureau, and Christiana, director, Division of Environmental Health from DEC. So keep that in mind if you have any questions. So please put yourselves on the record and walk us through this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing the bill. For the record, Robert Myers, Senator for District B. The Senate Bill 223 that we're bringing before you today, I know there's been various iterations of it over the years, but there's a lot of different moving pieces that go into it, a lot of different aspects that get addressed here in a relatively short bill, but really it's being brought forward for a very simple reason, and that is privacy concerns. We have a lot of information that is currently relatively easily accessible by the public. And while there is value in collecting that information, there's also danger in how we can so easily disseminate it, especially as more and more things get onto the internet. And so we're just trying to address some of those privacy concerns here with this bill. With that, I'd like to turn it over to my staff, Ms. Anderson.
Thank you. So for the record, Michaela Anderson, Chief of Staff to Senator Myers. Thank you, Chair Rivak and members of the committee. As the Senator said, this issue is before the legislature once again. It's been a point of contention between domestic animal owners and hunters for years. If I may speak to the sponsor statement.
Please do.
So SB 223 will take the information that is subject to disclosure and narrow the focus to protect the privacy of domestic animal owners while still releasing information per request crucial to protecting Alaska's people and wildlife. The lack of limitations on current information disclosures is not only detrimental to livestock producers and domestic animal owners, but also to public health. By limiting the information that is subject to disclosure, domestic animal owners would be less discouraged to participate in voluntary testing, therefore being able to test more often, hopefully, and decrease the potential for more serious zoonotic disease outbreaks. The Department of Environmental Conservation would continue to maintain detailed records to determine if there is a substantial health risk or threat of outbreak, but it would only release information in the records request that does not identify an individual owner or animal. That being said, it wouldn't say Michaela Anderson and her cow or her dog named Alaska Thunder, you know, because those are easy ways to track people and their animals. There are 16 situations where public records may be withheld from public request. SB 223 seeks to include the privacy of personal data and proprietary business information of domestic animal livestock owners to those exceptions. There is a zero fiscal note, as the Office of the State Veterinarian under the Division of Environmental Health already keeps this information. It would just change what information can be released. Mr. Chair, would you like me to read the sectional?
Yes, please.
All right. Section 1, AS3.05, is amended by adding a new section, AS3.05.084, confidentiality of certain information exceptions. Notwithstanding 03.05.010A2, records related to an animal shall be maintained by Department of Environmental Conservation as confidential and not subject to disclosure under the Alaska Public Records Act if the record, 1, identifies an individual animal, breed of animal, business, or animal owner, 2, contains record of test results or samples for an individual animal, or 3, contains trade secrets or proprietary business or financial information. B, notwithstanding A, the Department of Environmental Conservation may disclose information to other governments or government agencies if the department determines that there is a health or safety threat to animals or the public, and disclosure of information is necessary to address that threat. Then C, if the Department of Environmental Conservation discloses information under previous B, the department shall then, upon request, disclose that information to the public as long as it does not identify a person or animal. Section 2 adds a new section to read transition regulations. The Department of Environmental Conservation may adopt regulations necessary to implement this act. The regulation takes effect under AS 40.62, the Administrative Procedure Act, but not before the effective date of the law implemented by the regulation. In Section 3, Section 2 takes effect immediately under AS 01.10.070C. I'm available to take questions. We also have Christina Carpenter from DEC, as well as individuals from the Farm Bureau and the Wild Sheep Foundation, who are main stakeholders.
Perfect. Thank you, Ms. Anderson. And Senator Myers, we will have invited testimony from those folks. Do we have questions prior to moving? Yes, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to the sponsor, this may be a question you want to defer to the department, however you'd like to handle it. Can you just put this kind of in the broader context of DEC's other inspections and what's private and what's public? So I know they do restaurant inspections and maybe not DEC, maybe DNR does ag inspections. DEC does PSP tests on commercial shellfish. Is all of that confidential? Is all of that currently public? How does this compare?
So as far as, through the chair, Senator Keel, as far as that is compared to other inspections, I would defer to the department, but I do have a document that was distributed to the committee that shows all the information that is currently subject to disclosure when the animal is imported or tested in the state. And that ranges from everything from a business or individual name to phone numbers, microchip numbers. It's a widespread list of information that's currently subject to disclosure on animal owners. But if the department's willing to answer that question for the rest of it.
Great. Thanks. Other questions?
Just a really quick question.
Sure. Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why would a person want this information? Yes.
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, there has been record requests that are to see when animals are coming into the state and then being sold under certain state trademarks. There's also been record requests to see if certain test results have happened on animals to learn about the spread of, for example, rabies in some areas of the state. This would make it so that people could request the information to see whose dogs have rabies. More commonly known in this situation is whose goats and sheep have a MOBI and how close do they live to wild sheep and goat populations. So those are the kind of requests that we've seen or heard about happening.
So just speaking to rabies, I mean, a person or a, say like the Fairbanks North Star Borough wants to get information on a dog that's coming in to the Fairbanks North Star Borough to be tagged. I mean, isn't that information that would be good for a entity or person to know?
So the DEC and State Veterinary Office, through Chair Senator Kawasaki, could still share that information with other government agencies. It's just that if Senator Myers wanted to look up rabies cases, he wouldn't find Michaela Anderson's dog has rabies. And her phone number is 123 and all the other information that's included currently.
I'll have a question for DEC about that, though. Thanks.
Okay. I think we're going to move on to invited testimony. Thank you very much for your presentation. All right, we're going to take up invited testimony. We have online, we have two testifiers. We're going to start with Kevin from the Wild Sheep Foundation. Kevin, if you could please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Senator. For the record, my name is Kevin Kehoe. I live in Anchorage, Alaska, and I am the current president of the Alaska Wild Sheep Foundation. I'm testifying today in support of the concept of confidentiality of domestic animal testing, and specifically in support of committee substitute 32-LS1471/G. The Alaska Wild Sheep Foundation is a conservation nonprofit corporation based in Anchorage with approximately 700 members. Our primary purpose is the health and welfare of Alaska's wild Caprinae species, which includes Dall sheep, Rocky Mountain goats, and muskox. We've raised and contributed over $2.5 million to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to be used as a match for federal wildlife restoration funding on a ratio of 3-1, resulting in almost $10 million of conservation funding for Alaska's wildlife. Our specific interest in this bill came about during discussions with members of the farming community as part of our ongoing efforts to prevent the spread of a foreign pathogen called MOVI from domestic to wild sheep and goats. During those discussions, many of the domestic breeders expressed their concern that test results on their herds could not be kept confidential, and therefore some were reluctant to have testing done. Reputation is everything in their line of work, and they were specifically concerned that their businesses could be harmed by the disclosure of testing information. The testing is a vital part of the overall disease prevention program, and we completely agree that test results identifying specific individuals, animals, or farms should remain confidential. The bill as originally written, however, did not support the release of summary management information to organizations like ours, who are vital stakeholders in the wildlife support process. The language in committee substitute 32-LS1471/G corrects that deficiency. So in summary, we absolutely agree with the confidentiality of testing records, as long as a provision is made for the release of that summary data that would not compromise the confidentiality of the individual farmer and producer. I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keough. Do we have any questions? Yes, Senator Machicki.
Mr. Keough, could you identify that section in the version B? Page and line, what was added?
I don't know if I can answer that question, Senator, specifically. Maybe Michaela could address that part that was changed in the substitute.
Okay, thank you.
I think it might answer your question, Senator Machicki. We're working with the bill sponsor to, I think the other body has introduced a CS, and so we'll work on that before our next hearing of the bill. So I think that might help a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we'll move on to – we actually have Scott here instead of Amy Seitz from the Alaska Farm Bureau. Scott, if you could put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Yeah, for the record, this is Scott Muggeridge. I'm the president of the Alaska Farm Bureau. I bring Delta Junction, Alaska. I'm testifying today on behalf of the Alaska Farm Bureau and our farming members and agriculture supporters. Our mission is to improve the economic well-being and expansion of agriculture and to enrich the quality of life for all Alaskans. One key part of what we do is advocacy and promoting ag-friendly policies that assist in improving and expanding agriculture in Alaska. Our membership drives the position we take on policy issues. So when we have a policy or a position on an issue, it's coming from Alaska's farmers and ranchers and what's important to them. Today we're speaking in support of SB 223, confidentiality of animal records. This isn't a new issue for us or for some of you. It's been several years of working to get these protections in place. And many farmers are reluctant to have their information go through agencies like the EC because of this. Some instances where state and federal laws require information to go through DEC, like importing of animals, testing of animals, testing of dairies, testing of milk, any of that. It's like participating in a disease surveillance program. And we appreciate these because they take steps to mitigate things before there is an outbreak. In a time that Alaska is needing to increase its food production, it's important to have these protections in place. Having more farmers participate in testing could help us produce higher quality products, increase our efficiencies in our production, and it could also help with early detection of a possible outbreak, which would give agencies time to respond appropriately. There'd still be access to general information. People would still know what's being imported into Alaska, what parasites or pathogens are being found in Alaska, but it would be a big picture look like we've gotten used to seeing with COVID. We know how many positives there are in different regions, but we don't get the details on who these positives are. The bill also allows for information sharing to those necessary to mitigate a problem if one arises, like other agencies. There have been situations in the past where livestock farmers have been harassed by anti-livestock organizations, and in some of these, we've seen things as bad as even pilfering on farms. Some of our farmers have even had issues with people stealing their animals. So with someone with a grudge to get testing information from state and spreading that around on a farmer that they've had an unclean problem on their farm or something. And this also goes on to pet owners as well as livestock owners. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you. Is there any questions for Scott? All right, we don't see any. Thank you so much for calling in, Mr. Muggeridge. We appreciate it. Next, we're going to move on to Susie Crosby from Cottonwood Creek Farm. Susie, if you could please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Hi, this is Susie Crosby, Cottonwood Creek Farm, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I just want to speak in wholehearted favor of the confidentiality bill. I think Mr. Muggeridge expressed quite clearly why that's important. You know, just imagine if you go ahead and participate in a testing scenario, and then all of a sudden everybody and say you have a positive animal, and now everybody knows who you are. You're a pariah in the community. This situation kind of occurred in 2017 when there was an opportunity to participate in a statewide MOV testing through the DEC, and Dr. Gerlach, our state vet, let us know right up front, hey, I can't guarantee that your information stays confidential, but we felt it was important enough to go ahead and not only test our herd, but encourage others to do the same, even though it gave me a little bit of heartburn knowing that those records were going to not be protected. We were grateful that our herd did test clean, but I know that some others didn't, and I know that that information could have been FOIA'd by anybody with ill will. I don't know we did actually have a goat stolen from us the following year. I don't know if there was a connection between the fact that they could find out our location or not, or if it was random, but it is a big, big issue for livestock owners to try to do their best to maintain a clean herd, participate in available programs, and still know that their information is protected. So I just want to wholeheartedly encourage a yes vote for HB 223. And I guess that's about it. And questions, if anybody has any?
I'm looking around. I don't see any questions. Thank you, Susie, so much for calling in today. Next, we're going to go on to Kelly Foreman from Kodiak Baptist Mission Heritage Farm Ranch in Kodiak. Kelly, please put yourself
on the record. Hi, guys. This is Kelly Foreman from Kodiak Baptist Mission Heritage Farm Ranch. And I just want to have a disclaimer here. I have about 22 after-school farm and ranch kids with me. Everybody say hi.
Hi!
So we are calling, and I have a after school crew, but I am calling also in full favor of HB 222. And when I was explaining it to our kids here, the best way that I think I could help figure it out is by saying, you know, all of our kids have to undergo testing, and I'd have all take tests, and we have our different areas that we're looking at, but then we get those test results, and I stand up in front of the entire group, and I hold up every single kid's test, and I say, oh, goodness, Riley really messed up here. She's not very good at this, and oh, Lily over here did it this way, and oh, Grayson's pretty weak in this area, but man, Fletcher is the star student. Well, we all start to make assumptions of each other. We all start to do things, and it really lessens the ability that I have to help teach our kids and to help us grow as individuals. And I really see that as the same way with this. We as Alaskan farmers are growing, and we need to grow. If the pandemic has not taught us anything else, it's that we need to grow our self-sustainability. And with that self-sustainability comes the need to be able to test and find ways that we can be better and do better. But there needs to be that little cushion for us to be able to learn and to grow. It might be just one small area that, oh, we missed this, or we misunderstood this, or we couldn't get, we're catching a problem right at the very beginning so that we can fix it before it actually becomes something. And by having a little bit of a buffer here, by giving all Alaskan farmers this opportunity to really have some safety in testing so that we can test, so that we can grow and be better and honestly help grow other areas and avenues. Running the goat dairy here, there's times that, yep, all my testing in certain areas is absolutely 100% public, but I'm putting my milk right there on the shelves in a grocery store. And it needs to be that way. When I'm doing MOBI testing or other things, or we're trying to encourage other people to come in, this is just a great way to help encourage that. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. All of our kids here appreciate all the work you're doing. We follow you. So thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Tell all those kids that we say hi from down here in Juneau.
We sure.
Perfect. All right. Next, we're going to open public testimony. Public testimony is now open on SB 223. We have Jennifer Juhas online. Jennifer, if you could give us your name and affiliation and your testimony.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Juhas. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I am representing myself in support of Senate Bill 223 with the amendments previously discussed. I am a former licensed healthcare provider with 15 years of experience as a licensed dental hygienist with local anesthesia license. And while that might not seem applicable to a livestock bill, I mention that to communicate my understanding of disease prevention along with privacy. I am also a privacy rights advocate. And what I see in this legislation is that the information necessary to ensure health and enforcement is already collected for that purpose. It does not, however, need to belong in the public domain. And I wish that Senator Kawasaki hadn't left, because I could bring up some examples that he dealt with at the city council level. And you even see that right now with the legislative hearings. Our testimony no longer shows our address, our phone number, and our email. That's redacted when we send it to the committee, because it's not something that needs to be in the public domain. Those are the reasons I support this, and I remain on the line for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer, for your testimony. Do we have any questions? All right, I don't see any. Also, for the record, I'd like to welcome Senator Stevens to the committee. He was presenting a bill in front of a different committee. All right, I don't see any further public testimony online. Is anybody in the room that would like to testify on SB 223? All right, I don't see any. No more online. Okay, and none online. We're going to close public testimony. All right, public testimony is now closed. We do have Christina Carpenter, Director of Division of Environmental Health, Department of Environmental Conservation. Do we have questions for the department? Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Ms. Carpenter is the person or if we should get someone else from DEC. I would appreciate sort of that earlier question about the broader context of which of our inspection reports for animals and food stuff are public and which are not. You know, I think about shellfish, commercial shellfish PSP testing. I think about restaurant inspections. It was mentioned from a testifier about dairy inspections. Could we just sort of get the lay of the land and where this fits in?
Christina, if you could put yourself on the record, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm happy to. My name is Christina Carpenter, and I'm the Environmental Health Division Director here at DEC. So under environmental health, we do have our state veterinarian, our food safety, and our food safety and sanitation program, and also our drinking water program, as well as a few other programs. All of the records obtained and maintained or created by the Division of Environmental Health are currently subject to public disclosure. So yes, we do publish our restaurant inspections or our drinking water results for public water systems online. And so this would just take a very limited, narrow scope of records maintained by the state veterinarian's office and make the personally identifying information not subject to disclosure.
Follow up. Thank you, Ms. Chairman, and thank you, Ms. Carpenter. I guess the question then to help me put this into broader context, can you talk with us a little bit about when and for what purpose these inspections get done? If I remember correctly, we're supposed to inspect restaurants every year, every other year. I'm not sure we quite make that schedule, but on a regular schedule. I know that commercial shellfish producers, shellfish farmers test each batch they send to market. How about are these ag inspections that we're talking about in the bill handled how are they handled? What's their frequency and purpose?
Yeah, through the chair, this is designed to encourage surveillance testing for us to understand what diseases or pathogens are currently in domestic animals and livestock in the state. It's not done at a set frequency for most animals. But for example, we have a chronic wasting disease surveillance program for reindeer herders in Alaska. It's a voluntary program, but we want to be monitoring the animals that are already in the state so that we're aware of what pathogens are in our population, or if there's emerging pathogens, we can have a kind of a baseline understanding of, what has been found or hasn't been found, so that if something is found, we can respond more rapidly. Did that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. I guess I'm trying to tease out of the facts here what the theoretical difference is between as to why these inspections, these records would need to be confidential and others would remain would remain public. So that's what I'm chewing on, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Senator Machicki.
So this may help. Perhaps it's a question I have as well. Ms. Carpenter, are any of the diseases that we test for transmissible to humans?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, yes. I believe one of the earlier presenters mentioned rabies. So that is a disease that's transmittable between humans and animals. And so we have surveillance programs for you know, wildlife, I should say Fish and Game has surveillance for wildlife. And then we're doing our surveillance testing on domestic animals as well, so that if and when there is a disease outbreak, all of the agencies and the local government agencies can respond.
Okay, can I put that another way, Mr. Chairman? If I were buying an animal for meat, is it transmissible? And so rabies, I believe, is transmissible through a bite or punctured skin or something like that. But if I'm buying livestock for meat, are any of the things that we test for transmissible to humans through the meat itself?
This is Christina with DEC. Yes, there are some transmissible diseases. Unfortunately, I don't have my state veterinarian online as a lifeline, so I could get back to the committee with some information about certain diseases or pathogens of concern for the consumption of meat products.
Okay, one more question.
Senator Machuca.
What if I were purchasing an animal from another farmer or someone who's raising livestock and I wanted that testing information? Could I simply make that request? I mean, this doesn't keep a buyer from obtaining that information from a seller. Is that correct? I mean, that you can choose whether or not you're going to buy. If someone refuses to test an animal that you may want to purchase, the buyer can make that decision on their own, but certainly the seller can provide testing information if they chose to do that.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Machuca. Other questions? I have a question, Christina. Do we all the other measures are still in place? This is a question. As far as public safety goes, right? This doesn't change our response if there's an outbreak. This doesn't hinder the department's ability to react to those things. This just simply keeps confidential the specific owners and that data that's listed in this bill. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Yes. Can I make sure that I understand the question? And it was specific about our response in a disease outbreak and not delaying that response.
Correct. Does this hinder the department in any way?
This does not hinder the department in any way. As some of the earlier presenters had mentioned, this would hopefully encourage testing. Because animal owners would not be as reluctant to get their animal tested initial or early on during an outbreak. And so we believe that this would actually encourage a disease outbreak response, because we'd be able to work with livestock owners and domestic animal owners. If there is a pathogen of concern, we'd be able to get those animals tested and identify positive animals early on.
Thanks, Christina. So what you're saying is essentially there might be a stigma. So if an animal owner has an animal that they feel might have a disease, they're less likely to take them in because their names are associated. Is that what you're saying? So this could actually help public safety, because they'd be more apt to take an animal in because they'd remain anonymous. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And there's no other way that you believe that this hinders or public safety?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much to Senator Meyer and your staff and the presenters, the folks who called to testify, and the folks who help us run this committee. We appreciate it. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be this coming Friday. We're going to set this bill aside for further review. And as I mentioned earlier, we have A CS that's been working in the House. So we'll bring that before the committee at a future time. Like I said, Friday, March 11th, 2022, next hearing will be HB 54 Invasive Species Management. This committee is now adjourned at 4:09.